Amen. Good morning, Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. Happy New Year to you. It's a joy to be back for my second time to preach. I'm excited to be here. So I just thank you for your warm welcome, as always. It is a joy to be with you this morning. Hey, listen, that was a beautiful time of worship. Amen. Thank you, Aaron and the team. Thank you, Doug, for your leadership. And this Holy Spirit is moving this morning, isn't he? Amen. And so listen, I want to echo that with what Doug said. I want to give you opportunity at the end. I'm just going to start with at the end, what I'm going to kind of moving us toward is I'd like to spend some time in prayer. So if that was you this morning, you felt resistant, we're going to give you that opportunity again at the end. Amen. So, hey, listen, as we begin this morning, I want to just make you aware of something I know many of you know, and a charter member of our church here at Bridge City Church, the late great woman of God, Sally Paladin, went to be with Jesus this past week, and she passed away. And I was talking to Pastor Rick this morning in preparation, as we always do, and he said that she spent 16 years as the secretary or church administrator serving, but in many other ways she gave back. So I'm sure many of you here have a Sally Paladin story. And so I encourage you to pray and lift up the Paladin family as they mourn the loss of this dear saint, but also to pray and lift them up and celebrate with them for a beautiful life well lived. Amen. So lift them up as they go through this time of loss. So I just want to begin with a word of prayer. So I just pray that you, I ask that you pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I lift up the Paladin family to you. Lord, I've been here just a few months since August 28th, and Lord, I can see that you're using this family, that your hand is upon this family, and I just thank you for Pastor Gary and Donna. I thank you for Pastor Rick and Natalie and so many others and their family, how they've impacted and stepped up and stepped into your church. But we thank you for the faith of Sally Paladin and their life beautifully lived. And so, Lord, we just pray for this family at this time. We pray that you would bless them. Lord, we're honored to be able to stand on her shoulders and all the work that she's done. But, Lord, we just lift up that family in this time. Lord, I know that they're processing, but at the same time, they're celebrating. But, Lord, we're just thankful. And so we want to just recognize and honor her this morning. And, Father, I just pray this morning as at the beginning of a new year. I know it's the second Sunday, but it feels like the first Sunday. But Lord, help us to examine our hearts, to find any anxious way that offends you this morning. So Father, as we look at first things first this morning, Lord, I just pray that we would examine our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let me ask you this question. What would you like to be first at in your life, right? What are some things you want to be first at? You know, for instance, maybe it was to be the first person to get to Starbucks before the line moves, right? Is that you? Maybe it's the first person. I mean, when I was in high school at Beaver Falls, it was that, if you got the Jordans, the Air Jordans first, like that was like respect. That was street cred, which that was never me. So, or maybe this, maybe it was you, like you're playing on a sports team and you wanted to be that team that wins the championship to get that trophy first. Maybe that was you this morning. You want to be the first to do that. Maybe it's you want to be the first person get that increase in salary or get that job bump or to whatever that is. That's you. You have goals and that you want to get there. But I want to challenge you this morning, as this is kind of like the new series called First Things First. We want to ask the question, what would it look like for you and I in 2023 to be a people that want to be the first to repent? That we want to be the first people in line to repent, to do the things and to stand in clear conscience before God and before others, right? What if that was what we valued and we went after? It's easy, and everybody does New Year's resolutions, right? The gyms are full in January. Full. But when it comes like February, where are they? Pastor Rick showed me a picture of Oakmont Bakery, right, at the beginning of this week. And guess what? He took a picture. No one was there. People were behaving themselves, right? Putting away the calories. But guess what's going to happen at the beginning of February? Woo, out the door, right? They're going to be standing in line for that. But so here's the thing. The first thing we want to do is like thinking about what it means, not to just truly have a New Year's resolution. Those are good in and of themselves. But listen, you and I, we're followers of Jesus, aren't we? That's why you're here. And why not make it to have these values that we truly place and incorporate
and adopt and adapt into our lives and our daily lives. And so why don't we be the first people to repent in a daily basis, right? And so I want us to think about what are the ways, right? Maybe I could be in my family, right, to be the best listener. I'm working on this in my own life. I'm preaching to myself this morning first, with my wife, with my kids, with my coworkers, with my friends, and just God's voice in general, out and about. Be the best listener I can be. I want to be the first and the best at I can as a believer, right? But I want to be maybe the first to repent. You know, that's a good value for us to strive after. What would that look like for us to be the first to repent in a relationship, in our lives, right? And think about that. What are some things that you try to be the first in, right? I remember I tried to be the first Kendrew boy to graduate college. That was my goal, right? And I had this chip on my shoulder my freshman year that I wasn't going to let anybody say anything or put in any obstacle in my way. And I was going to be the first Kendrew to graduate college. And I did that, right? I was the first one in my family on my dad's side to graduate college. But it takes a recognition, right? It takes effort. And it takes an examination of our heart. And it takes, guess what? A plan to get there, right? And I believe God has a plan for us in this new series called First Things First, for us to examine our hearts and look what it looks like to be the first at repenting and getting there and making a right relationship with God. What about you this morning? Do you want to be that first to repent in your family, to make things right with God? So that's what we're going to look like. How about these values? We're going to look at some of these values over the next few weeks in our sermon series. The first one today is we're going to look at repentance. And I love that was already brought up in our prophetic time. But we're going to look at that this morning. I'm going to unpack that here in a second. But the value of prayer and fasting. Bridge City Church values prayer and fasting, right? Just not the short prayers, but deep prayers. Prayers in the spirit. Praying without ceasing, right? And then fasting, right? This isn't just for weight loss, right? These are deeper spiritual purposes to connect with God, to sense who God is, and we're going to be doing that shortly. How about this one? The value of forgiveness. How can we forgive quickly and forgive often, right? How can we do that better in 2023? And then finally, humility, being teachable. If we did these values, if we sought after these four things, how would our lives look different than they did in 2022? I would argue this, that this may be one of the most profound years ahead of us if we walk in the ways of God and seek out these values in our lives. If we seek to be first responders in these values, amen? Are you with me this morning? So that's my question. What would our mindset, what would our lives look like if we were the first responders and we went after these values with every ounce of our being? And so that's the big idea for us this morning, that if we have this life of repentance and we're followers of Jesus, we'll have these three results. First, we'll see the kingdom of God. We'll have this, if we have repentant hearts and we're seeking God, our mindset will begin to change. The way we see the world, the way we see others, the way we see things, our mindset will begin to shift. If we have a life of repentance, we'll begin to see the kingdom of God in our lives in and around us. The repentant life also has this, that we'll begin to sense the Father's presence and joy in our lives, right? Do you need more joy in your life? I know this morning, and I could sense it here this morning, right? There's a heaviness, there's a grief, there's things that are keeping us down. Not joy and a clown-like smile. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. That's what we need, is the joy of the Lord. And so when we're repentant, we're going to sense the Father's presence, and that will lead to joy. And guess what joy leads to? Growth. When you have that joy, you're going to beginning to grow in your relationship with the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but in 2023, I want to continue to grow into a follower of Christ. And then here's the other thing, that when we're repentant, Jesus' followers will have this result of when they begin to submit to the will of God, they will become teachable. And when you're teachable, your life will produce fruit, right? Your life will begin to produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. People will be able to see in you something is different in this individual. They're not yelling at their waitress, right? They're kind. Oh my goodness, try that on. They're just kind. That's amazing, the kindness. And so when we do this, when we're repentant, it's going to lead to this submission, and submission's going to lead to this producing of fruit. And so that's where we're going to head this morning.
And so I want to just ask that question, you know, to begin this morning. What is repentance? What does that look like, right? And I've been in the ministry for about 27 plus years now, and it's one of those things where people think they have a handle on, but it's evident in their lives that it's truly missing, right? Think about this. How many times have you seen in the media a congressman, politician of sorts, a business individual type, or an athlete make these hollow, fake apologies? And you know they're not, you know. Aaron, they're not real. They're fake, right? They're not. And so there's these fake, but to be truly repentant, what does that look like for the life of a believer? And we're going to look at that this morning. So we're going to start, look just right off the top here in Matthew's gospel, starting in chapter 3. And looking, he says this. And so this is kind of sets the tone for this whole thing. In Matthew 3, 1 through 3, it says this. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, get this, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And so this is the word. This is a proclamation that goes out, right? And so we're quoting here, Jesus is quoting Isaiah 40, verse 3, right? This is a prophetic thing that's going out that Jesus is living into. He becomes the embodiment that this is the message, that his message, his ministry begins with this idea, this truth, this principle, this value of repentance, right? What does that look? And so the prophet Isaiah was speaking about when he said, he is the voice shouting in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him, right? And so there's this, when John was called, when he was set forth with Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah, found out what they were going to have their baby, it was one of his purposes was to prepare the way for the Lord. What does that mean, right? He didn't work for PennDOT, but his way was to clear the road, make straight the road. It was to make way for the Lord, to do his ministry in his life. And so this path, right? Repentance, what does it do? When you're repentant, it makes a path straight. It gets rid of things. It gets rid of obstacles, doesn't it? Think of your own life. You know, what are some things in the path right now that are stopping you from becoming the man or the woman you're supposed to be? And so when we repent and when we stop going to those things, God begins to clear the path for us to walk in his ways, right? So I don't know about you. I'm over the last few years or so, I'm so tired personally of stumbling over some of the same things in my life. Some of the same insecurities, some of the same worries, some of the same fears over and over again. Oh man of God, pastor that I am, right? I stumble over these same things. And so when we're preparing for this, I'm like, I'm going to repent of these, and I want God to clear the way for me. And that's my hope and prayer for you this morning, is that you begin to see that repentance is that way that will clear the path for you to have this relationship with God and with others. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so listen, my hope and prayer is that we're going to see clearly when we repent, we're going to see the kingdom of God. We're going to see clearly in 2023. And we're going to be a people of repentance. We're going to repent and get there quicker. We're going to be first to repent. Don't let anybody out repent you, right? Southwestern Pennsylvania is notorious. You get the work ethic, right? When you hear someone describe themselves, what do they normally say? Well, I'm a good worker. I'm a good work ethic. Well, here's the thing. If that's you, like, don't let anybody out repent you. Well, we always say, I'm going to let anybody outwork me. I'm going to be the toughest guy or the hardest, like my brother said, right? But that's what we should do. We should be no one's going to out-repent me. I realize my brokenness. I realize what Jesus did on the cross. No one's going to out-repent me. I'm going to get there quicker. And so the kingdom of heaven is near, right? As John the Baptist was proclaiming that in the wilderness, the same is true for us in 2023. Don't mess around. The kingdom of God is near, right? Prepare yourselves. Prepare your hearts. Get in right standing with God and with others. Look at Matthew 4:17. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of God is near. Again, saying that same thing. And these are some of the first words that we see at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, right? They're the first red letters that you see in the ministry of Christ. You look on your Bible. Some of your translations will have this.
The first directive is what? Go to church? Go to Sunday school? Serving children? No, it's repent. It deals with the condition of our hearts and our relationship with God and our relationship with others. These are the words that Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. See, here's the thing. Many people in America try to go to God, but they don't repent. They just kind of add Jesus in as a side thought. And that's not what we're called to do. And that's why they're not receiving the blessing. That's why they're not living in that fullness, that abundant life that the Bible talks about. And I believe that it's because people are not willing to repent, to make room for God, as we sang this morning. And so when we do that, we make room for God, we're able to open ourselves and God's be able to do things in our lives if we're willing to do that. Listen, here's a definition for you. Repentance is a decision that results in a change of mind, which in turn leads to a change of purpose and action. A change in mind, which in turn leads to a change of purpose and action. And so if you think about it, before you knew Jesus, you thought one way and lived a certain way. And you were going this way. You met Jesus. What happened? You turned the other way and started going this way. That's what repentance means, is that you were going one way and then you go back the other way. You're turning and leaving behind that past life. Or another way to say it is you're heading home. Think of the prodigal son, right? There was a time where he became repentant, didn't he? And he met his dad, his papa on the road. But that's what we're called, is to turn. Is it the change of mind, which leads to a change of purpose? How many of you need a better purpose and direction for your life this morning? Listen, it's available. It's available to you. It's freely available for you. Listen, it begins with repentance. We have to try that. Listen, repentance isn't a feeling word. It's an action word, right? Many men, right, we wait for that goosebumps, or we're not feeling, or many people feel that way. We're waiting for that goosebump experience. Listen, it's not that. It's realizing that you're broken. It's realizing your shortcomings. It's realizing the weight of your sin. And it's realizing that it's called you to step out and step in and take ownership. Repentance isn't blaming other people. Repentance is taking responsibility. And so many times, we blame others. We blame a situation. And believe me, I recognize and I'm sorry things have happened to you. Even church hurts. But listen, God is greater than those things. His grace is sufficient for you. And his joy is overwhelming. And his love is relentless. But listen, we have got to come to God, right? It's an action word. We got to turn from our whatever we're doing and head back home to our Father. Amen? That's what we're called. Repentance is to turn around and head back home. Which way are you headed this morning? Which way are you headed in 2023? Are you going to be satisfied with living that way and dealing with those things that hold you down? Are you ready to let it go and just turn and run to Jesus? And our hope and prayer is that you, this morning, will understand that the first things first is to repent. Amen? There's an illustration we were talking about. Like, if we're repentant, we're going one way, then we go to another. Like, so if you were in Cleveland, right, and I said, go to Pittsburgh, oh, Cleveland, ugh. Right? And so you recall, and so if you're in Cleveland, you know that to get back home, you gotta go down 79 South, right? But your intentions, it can't be just an idea or thought. It's got to be an action. And that's what repentance is. It's an action step. So if you go from Cleveland, you say, I'm going to go to Pittsburgh, and you're still in Cleveland, are you making progress? No. You're still in that city. Ugh. So, but we're called to turn and head toward home, toward Pittsburgh. Amen? And so we cannot come to the kingdom of God unless we have left our sin and our selfish life. Amen? That's what we're called to do. Leave where you are and come home. Leave whatever that is and come home to him. His ways are much better than your ways. His control is better. How's that control working out for you that you're trying to hold on to? How's that working out for you? It's not. It's not working. So come home to him, right? Many don't want to leave behind the world, right? As they met Jesus and they went this way, they're still holding on to something. They're just dragging it behind them. And we're called to let that go. We're called to let that go, but we don't. We just keep holding it, keep taking it, dragging it with us, and we're not doing what Christ called us to do. Repentance was the first word. Look at some of these examples in the Bible. Look what the Word of God has when it talks about repentance. Of John the Baptist's purpose, there should be a slide for this, Joel.
There it is.
On John the Baptist, his purpose in the gospel, right, was about repentance. Of Jesus' gospel, I just quoted a few of these for you. It was about repentance, right? In the preaching ministry of the 12 disciples, those who followed Jesus and did life with him through Judea and all, you know, the Galilee region, it was about repentance. In the preaching instructions Jesus gave to his disciples after his resurrection in the Great Commission was to repent. Here's more. In the exhortation, the first Christian sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it mentions repentance. And in the mouth of the Apostle Paul through his ministry, he talks about, yep, you guessed it, repentance, over and over. The Bible was serious about repentance. The Bible was serious about repentance. But I wonder sometimes, being a pastor for how long as I have, I just don't know if people understand repentance. It sounds like a good idea. Yeah, but it's the truth. It's the beginning point in which you make your way toward Christ, right? And it's a daily thing. There's a big churchy theological word called sanctification, right? And when we repent daily, it's a daily thing. It's ongoing. You've never arrived. You keep doing it daily. And we're moving slowly over time, repenting. The Bible says this, to die to yourself daily and take up your cross, right? That's repentance. That's what we're called to do. Not hold on to the things that easily entangle us, that the enemy of our souls wants to use against us to keep us from the Heavenly Father. And so this, listen, overview of repentance. Listen, repentance involves renouncing our sin. Ooh. It's not a popular thing to talk about sin, but here's the reality, that for the wages of sin is death, right? And all have fallen short of the glory of God because of sin, right? And because of Genesis 3, we've all fallen. Sin, there's a sin problem. There's a sin problem. And so we need to have this renouncing of our sin and lifestyles and habits and choices and let go of our past, because you are not defined by your past. You're defined as a child of God. It's taking responsibility. Some of us here this morning have got to stop blaming others. Some of us here this morning have got to stop blaming God for the things that have happened. I'm sorry those things have happened to you, but listen, that's not where God wants you to stay. It's okay to have doubt. It's okay to have fear. But he wants you to take responsibility and learn from it, but go to him with all that you have. Owning your stuff, not blaming others. That's what a child of God does. That's what a follower of Jesus looks like. It's about restoration. Restoration with what? It's restoration first with God, right? When we repent, we recognize our sin, and we recognize that we are not in good standing with God. God, I have offended you because of my lifestyle, my choices, my words, my attitudes, the unsaid things, the unguarded moments. But it's also this, listen, it's restoration with others. Some of us have relationships that are sour, that are fractured, that are estranged, that are broken. And repentance is part of that, making right with others. Not to be right, to be right's sake, right? We do that a lot. Men do that mostly, I'll take that. My wife tells me that all the time. But we want to be right with God. We want to be right with others, not to be right just for being right's sake, right? That's called pride. So, and then here's the thing. Repentance involves this. Heading in the right direction. Are you heading in the right direction in your life? Or is your life heading in the direction that you're not sure where you're going to be in a couple weeks, right? But here's the thing. If you want to have it go in the right direction, you've got to surrender and repent and turn to God. 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 9, and this is kind of the meat of where we're going. It says this. Paul says this to the church in Corinth. I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you. Got to love his heart. Though I was sorry at first, for I knew it was painful to you for a little while, now I am glad I sent it. Not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow that God wants his people to have so that you will not harm by us in any way. So I would submit to you that Paul was the first to say sorry, not sorry, right? He was sorry, not sorry. He was sorry that offended and hurt their feelings, but really what he cared about was their souls. He wanted them to be right with Jesus. And so he was saying that I'm glad it hurt you, right? But I'm glad it caused you to repent. When you turn on the lights in a dark room, what happens when you're there? Hurts your eyes. Sometimes the truth is going to hurt, isn't it? It's going to hurt us. But it's meant to make us better. Medicine. Oh, the medicine I took as a kid. I can't believe I'm still living because of this other fight. Right? But it helped me. It didn't kill me, but it tastes terrible. But that's kind of how the truth is, right? It helps. It hurts before it can set you free, right? It hurts before it can set you free. Some of you need to be set free, but some of us got to feel the weight of our sin. Realize the damage we've done and not blame people and own it, right? Here's the other thing. God wants us to be sorrowful about our sin. He wants us to have true remorse, not to offer one of those fake hollow apologies that we see in society, right? He wants us to truly have remorse for our sin, to feel it, right? When I was a child, I have a brother, Jamie, who's also a pastor, by the way, which is interesting. But both of us would fight with each other. I'm a little bit older than him. And my mom would say, "Ben, you hug Jamie and tell him you're sorry." We'd walk up and we'd hug each other. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Jamie. Like, I'm going to kill you afterward." And he would say the same. He, like, would start kneeing me. There was no remorse there. It was dutiful sorries, right? That's how often we, you and I, do that. We act and go through the motions as if we're sorry, but we're truly not repentant, are we? But God wants us to feel sorry. He wants us to come to him. He desires a relationship with us, right? To go through those dutiful actions, that's religion. To truly repent and come to God, that's a relationship, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, "For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation." It leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But listen to this. But worldly sorrow, which I just talked about, lacks repentance and results in spiritual death. When we don't take ownership and we don't have this repentant heart and we don't realize the weight of our sin, that's called worldly sorrowness. And it leads to spiritual death. That's not God's plan for your life. God wants you to turn from that, let that go, and turn to godly sorrow, truly repentant, truly sorry for what you've done, right? And that's the difference. A lot of people just think repentance is just being sorry. It's not. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. And that's what sorrow, that's what repentance is. It leads us away from sin, right? Out of sin. Repentance owns that, right? Over and over again. Listen to the words he uses here in verses 7, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. I love these. You can hear Paul's pastoral urgency to his church here in Corinth. "Just what this godly sorrow produced in you." "Just see what this godly sorrow produced in you." So he's talking about godly sorrow here, okay? "Such earnestness or sincerity, such concern to clear yourselves," right? "Such indignation," or you're bothered by your sin. It's like a stink or something that's on you, you can't get off, you're bothered by it. "You're such alarm, such longing to see me." And that's the thing, do we long to see God in our lives? I often sometimes think we don't. We say we want God, but we truly don't want him, right? We want the blessings that come with it. But he says, if you truly are sorrowful in your life, you'll long to see me, right? Zeal. Zeal is a character trait of someone that's repentant, right? With such readiness to punish wrong. And that's not to go after somebody like January 6th. No. Right? No, none of that. I'm not being political. I'm just saying, like, the attitude is wrong. It's a zeal to deal with the sin, to correct the sin, to restore the sin, and get in right relationship with God. That's what I'm saying here, right? It's not to be right, it's to make things right, as I said before. That's what God desires for us. Does sin bother you? Does sin bother you? Or are you okay with it? It's not that bad. We got to ask that question. We need to decide if sin's going to bother us. It should bother you. If you're a follower of Jesus, I'm here to tell you this morning that it should bother you. And that botheredness that you feel, that stir, that movement, that uncomfortableness, like that itchy blanket, that's called being bothered by sin, right? God wants you to be bothered by sin and move toward him. And so repentance is understanding with your entire being that you've offended God, but you're moving in the right direction with the right desire and right attitude to make things right before God and before man. Are we doing that? Are you comfortable with sin? Or are you okay with it? Or do you truly desire a relationship that begins from repentance? What I love, there was a we're preparing this, and Pastor John Schaefer brought this up, and I love it. And he said that religion, when you think about religion and you think about the brokenness that comes with religion, or just a life of brokenness, it says, when we mess up, he says, I messed up, my dad's gonna kill me. But a relationship with God that has repentance says, I've messed up and I need to call my dad. I love that. It's a different perspective. It's a mindset. It's a different shift. That we looked as God as some God in a tree stand ready to take us out, right? But really what he is, he's a loving father that wants to help us and redeem us and restore us to our original purpose. That's one of the other words that repentance has. It's a restoration back to right relationships and the way he created you to be. Do you want to be restored this morning? Do you want to have that life that he's promised? I pray that. That's what you desire. So there, I'm going to go through these, and there's three implications or three results from repentance. The first one is this. First point is that we see the kingdom of God from a foundation of relationship. John 3:3 says this, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? The kingdom of God is what Christ was called to do. He was called to proclaim that good news. And he was talking about God's kingdom come here on earth, right? He was called to proclaim that. And so when we see, when we're born again, when we have a relationship with Jesus, we're going to see our world differently. We're going to see our situations and circumstances and pain and suffering and all the things differently. We're going to see that God desires a relationship with us. But what's it begin with? Repentance. It begins with repentance. What I love is that within the kingdom of God, one of the principles that we see within the kingdom of God is that when we're restored, God obliterates that sin that we've struggled with and we're sorry for. He obliterates it. He restores it. He takes care of it because of what his son did on the cross, that his blood paid it all, that song we sang about. He makes it and wipes it clean and makes us new, new creations in him. Psalm 103 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You ever feel just dirty, like your sin is just on you? You just can't get it off of you? At my house, there's a wall where my kids just like fling their shoes. They just fling their shoes and boots. And they're just flinging them. Against that wall is just scuff marks. And I'll take a rag and it won't come off, Doug. It won't come off. And my wife goes, what you need is a magic eraser. I was like, what? What is that? I don't even like the way this feels. It's gross to me. She's like, yeah, a magic eraser. I'm like, but I tried soap and water and elbow grease and work ethic, and it won't come off, right? And I'm from Pittsburgh. It won't come off. No, she was like, you need a magic eraser. I was like, what is that? It feels weird. It really does. You ever felt these? It's weird. So I scrubbed the wall. Guess what? It comes off, right? It's removed. It's gone forever. Right, here you go, Doug. So it's gone forever. That sin, like a magic eraser, Christ, because of what he did on the cross, removes us and restores us, right? And he just wants us to repent. So whatever stuff or junk that is in your life, Christ is ready to erase that and make it clean and make you new and fresh because of his blood on the cross. Amen? I'm excited. The Bible says this, the word kingdom of God. I want you to continue to stay there with me. Thinking about when I say the word kingdom of God, right? The Bible records 137 different references when I say the kingdom of God or to the kingdom, right? What does that mean? It's where the king dwells. It's where the king resides. It's his territory. It's where he belongs, right? And so this is Jesus, right? This is where he dwells in this kingdom of God who is in charge. He's the Savior. He's the forgiver of our past. He's the one is the leader of our future. He's the one that dwells in the kingdom of God. But we can't get there in our own efforts. All we're called to do is what? Is to repent. That's how it begins. And he takes care of the rest. He wipes away that dirt and that sin in our lives. The second thing is this. We have the life of repentance a follower of Jesus has. It will have these three results. Number one is they see the kingdom of God, a change of mindset. The second one is this, is that we'll begin, when we repent, to sense the Father's presence. We'll begin to have this joy in our life. Romans 2:4 says this, or do you presume that the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that, listen, that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. I'm going to say that again. God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. How many of you know that God is good this morning? That God is kind. He loves you with an everlasting love. If he never does another thing for you, he's good enough. Right? And his kindness alone should lead you to repentance. It should lead us to fall on our knees and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. It caused me, his kindness caused me to go into ministry. I wanted to be a sports medicine physical therapist, and I gave that life up so I could tell people about what he's done for me. I haven't looked back because I want people to know. I want people to know of his kindness. I wanted people to know his kindness. I'm from a family with a broken home, and I didn't have a father who showed a love that he should have. And when I saw the Lord as a kind and loving, gracious father, it changed everything for me. And it caused me to fall to my knees and repent and turn my life around and leave what I was doing and follow him. That's my hope and prayer for you, is that you'll sense the Father's presence in your life. Some of you need to sense that Father's presence in your life. Some of you need to know the joy and the kindness of the Lord. You've been going too hard. Life can grind you down. But listen, when we repent, the first thing we do is we come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. We'll know of this Father's joy and his kindness. Think about David. King David, Israel's king, right? He had his encounter with Bathsheba. He killed off Uriah. They had a baby, right? She was pregnant. And later in the pregnancy, in Psalm 51, David cries out because he realizes the goodness of God and all that God has done for him and how God has blessed him. And he still shows favor. In Psalm 51, it says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit or a right spirit. And so he came to the point where he was so disgusted by his sin that he longed to see Jesus, that he wanted to have a clean heart, and so he repented to the Lord. And sometimes when we get to that spot where we're so busy and distracted, and we're just stuck, we're just stuck and we're upside down and our wheels are spinning. Some of us just need to repent and realize the goodness of the Lord. Some of us just need to stop and realize that he loves you, that there's a joy, right? We do not know God's true joy because we don't know true repentance. And so he wants us to know that, but we have to decide if we're going to repent or we're just going to continue in our old ways. How about this one? Repentance in the life of Jesus' followers will have these three results, right? Number one, see the kingdom of God, change of mindset. Number two, they will sense the Father's presence and joy. Number three is that they will be submissive or submit to the will of God. That's another word that's not as cool as we would like it to be. The word submission or submit. It has connotations of a good housekeeping 1950s article to housewives, which is awful, right? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this in James 1, 21 through 22. It says this, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, humility, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Right? Listen, I think it was Jess that said this actual point, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. Anybody can hear teaching. Anybody can listen to the latest, greatest podcast and Instagram or Facebook nonsense, but when you become a repentant person and you're submitting to the will of God, you're going to do what? You're going to become a doer of the word. Say doers of the word. You're going to become doers of the word. That's what we're called to do, right? What greater way to start 2023? Way better than New Year's resolutions, right? To become a doer of the word. I'm going to respond first and submit. Right? We're supposed to have this childlike approach, this childlike faith when it comes to following Christ. That's what we're called to do. But you have to realize this, as I said earlier, you got to understand that when we're submitting to the will of God, this is something that's ongoing. It's a daily thing. You've never arrived, no matter how old you are, no matter how old, mature of a Christian you think you are, you need to start with repentance. That's what we're called to do. We're called to submit to the will of God. So the oldest saint in the room to the youngest, newest Christian or the non-believer, we're called to submit to the will of God. That's what we're called to do. But it's a constant thing. It's ongoing. You will never get to the place where you do not need to repent. You will never get there. You're always going to have to repent. I've been in ministry for 27 years. I feel constantly attacked. Anytime I'm preaching or meeting with people, there's always something that happens. Always something. But I have to constantly repent of the unguarded thoughts in my head, right? Or my actions or the things that I just constantly have to do that. I've never arrived, right? I continually have to seek Christ with everything that I am. Everything that we are. Listen, we're going to provide for you in the next couple weeks, actually this coming Saturday, an opportunity for you to continue to repent and to continue to get better in your faith. This isn't a works righteousness thing. We're not saying that. But Jesus provides us with the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. One of the great values of Bridge City Church is that we value the Holy Spirit. We're Spirit-filled believers, aren't we? And so we have this thing called the Power Conference. It's January 14th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the North Braddock campus. I encourage you to come, right? We're going to talk about repentance, then it's going to talk about fasting and prayer. I encourage you to do that. If you want to be the first to respond and repent and walk in step with the Holy Spirit, as David cried out in Psalm 51, this is a great opportunity for you. It's a great resource, right? Just constantly getting better. And then the second one is this, is that fasting, prayer and fasting. I love that Bridge City Church does this. They champion fasting, right? Is this fasting just doing without food? Yeah, but it's with a deeper purpose, isn't it? When you're fasting and your gut's rumbling, whoa, you drinking juice and water, those are the times where you're driven to your knees or you're crying out to God and realizing who he is. And we're fasting for repentant hearts. We're fasting for big audacious goals and for souls to be reached. We're fasting for all kinds of different things, but we do it together. And that's a great thing corporately to do a fast together. I'm so excited to see how God will use this event in the lives of repentant Christians. It's going to be a beautiful thing, right? So where do we begin? We respond to the conviction of God. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning that God is convicting you. The Holy Spirit says, yeah, you need to pray. You need to let that go. You need to let that go. Stop blaming others, right? So that's called conviction. That's a good thing. That's when it hurts a little bit, but then it leads to blessing and good things. So there's a conviction that happens. Confessing, acknowledge your sin, taking responsibility, but receiving that redemption and restoration. That's a point where I think some believers have trouble with. They receive that. You're not defined by your sin, so don't continue to glorify that. Right? Don't continue to beat yourself up. Oh, I'm no good. Well, Jesus went to the cross because he thought you were worth his life. Well, I just don't know. Like, no. Receive that. Receive it. Receive the redemption of Christ and that restoration to how you were intended to be. That's how you live in victory and freedom. Is when we repent and we receive that from God. We receive that from the Spirit. John, 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful, him being God, him and he, his God, is he, God, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all wickedness. And so confession is a good thing, place to start, right? Confession, acknowledging. You can confess to God, which I encourage you, start there. Go to God and confess your sin. Whatever that is. The second thing, find a brother or sister that you trust. That's someone that can hold you accountable. Maybe it's in your connection group or whatever. Go to them and confess. I have a cousin and best friend who I just had dinner with on Friday. I could talk to him about anything. I could tell him some of the most darkest, craziest things, and he'll hold me accountable. Well, you need to repent of that, Ben. So confession is an important piece. Confession is one of those things, that one of those first steps that leads to repentance. So confession to God and confession with other believers, brothers and sisters, right? Hebrews, so let us come boldly. Listen, when we do that, when we confess and we repent, here's what we get to do. We get to the Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of God's grace. There will we receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most, right? Because when we become new creations, and we've been set free because of Christ, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Not timidly, but we can boldly approach it, right? Reverently, obviously, but we can boldly approach this throne of grace because of this attitude change in our hearts and minds and our lifestyles. I'm excited about that I can go to God I can boldly go to him and cry out to him and say, God, why is this happening? Why is this certain relationship falling to pieces in my life? God can handle that. God can handle your frustrations and your anger, but you can boldly go to him. All right, let's look here. Mark 1:15 says this. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. So we have that word, good news, right? This is the promise of salvation because of Christ. It's fulfilled by Jesus' life and death and resurrection, his ascension. We have that. That is the good news, right? Jesus is our forgiver and our leader, right? We can have that confidence in who he is. That we become shapeable. You know, you think about shapeable, clay in the potter's hand, that we become shapeable when we submit to God, right? And we confess our sins. When we do that, we can produce fruit. I want my life to be remembered as somebody that loved Jesus. I don't want them to see something else. I want them to see Jesus and not Ben Kendrew. When you think of Sally Paladin, you can see Jesus in Sally Paladin. And so that's what we're called to. We want to be remembered for that. We want Jesus to be lifted up and confess and to live that lives. Listen, I'm going to invite you to stand right now as we close. And as we talked about, we're offering this time of prayer. And I think there might be three groups of individuals. There could be more. But I want to pray first for those that you need to confess right now. That you need to get right with God, that you need to stand in clear conscience before God and before man, and you realize you've got some business to do. If you'd like to come up and kneel at the altar, you can. If you'd like to just sit and make an altar where you are. But we're going to spend some time in confession. And I want to encourage you, if you're sitting in your seats, just to hold your hands out like this, palms down, as letting go of that thing. You're confessing and letting that go. Confess to Jesus right now. And I'm gonna just say a prayer. You can pray it with me, or you can say your own prayer right now. And so, Lord, I pray right now for those of us that are confessing. Lord, I have fallen so short. But I am disgusted by what I've done and my sin. Father, forgive me. I need you. I'm broken and messed up. I'm tired of going in a certain direction. I'm weary. But Lord, I know that in your love, it drives out fear. Your perfect love drives out fear. And so, Father, we confess to you this morning as a church, as individuals. Help us to surrender, Jesus. We confess these things right now to you silently, unto you. Lord, we recognize we could be here all day, and some of us might need to be here. But, Lord, help us to move closer to you. Lord, help us not to pick up those things that would cause us to stumble along the way, but help us to surrender to you. Jesus, we're sorry, but Jesus, we love you and we recognize all that you've done and all you are and all you've called us to be. And so, Father, we thank you. In your name I pray. Lord, and I also want to pray for those that need to repent. Just an encouragement of repentance, right? A change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of direction, whatever that is. And maybe in 2023 that you're going to be a first responder. You're going to be the first to repent. No one's going to out-repent you in 2023. You're going to forgive quickly. You're going to love quickly. Slow to anger. And I want to pray for you right now, if you would. Just lift up your hands. Heavenly Father, you are so good. Your love is relentless. Your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we confess these things to you. Lord, help us, whatever that thing is, that insecurity, that addiction, that fear, that anxiety, Lord, we repent of that. We repent of our old ways. We turn from it and run to you, Jesus. We run to you. Help us to move to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to be first responders, the ones that were moved by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't know what needs to be done. You do. You know the hearts of everybody here this morning that we need to repent. And that's the first things first, that you call us to stop. Quit being so busy and just be still and repent. And so, Father, be with us this morning. Make us new. Heal us, repair us, restore us. Restore our hearts, our minds, our fear, our depression. Restore those broken relationships. Repair those things, Lord, and let us remember that we can boldly approach you in your throne of grace. Lord, we thank you that your kindness leads to repentance. Lord, you are so good. You are so kind. Help us not to get distracted by when life brings us down, that we always never take for granted the love and the goodness and the kindness of you. I pray for brothers and sisters that need a change of pace and a change of direction. Lord, move upon them, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Guide them and guide their steps, mark their steps and the where they're to go. Surround them with a community of people, whether it's here at Brighton Heights or elsewhere, but Lord, help them and have a community of people that love them and support them. And right now I pray for those of you, heads bowed, eyes closed, that maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ. And all of this sounds amazing. You're like, how do I get this? I want to pray for you. If you would, just slip your hand up. If you don't know Jesus, you would like to receive him as your forgiver and leader into your future. Forgive your past and your sins and leader in your future. If that's you, raise your hand this morning. I see that hand. I just pray with you this morning. We're going to have somebody pray with you as well afterward. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that we would understand that we're falling short of who we are called to be. And so, Father, I pray for this individual, these individuals that don't know you, that they would admit their shortcomings, that they're in need of a Savior. And so, Father, we believe and we acknowledge that our sin is causing us to fall short, but we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that sets us free and gives us victory. And so we repent of these ways, and you've called us into a future, a glorious future with you. So, Father, help us to commit and walk in step and to die to self daily. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you, Lord, that they would be your sons and daughters forever. And so, Father, right now, I just thank you for this time. I pray, thank you for this campus. I thank you for this church. I pray that in 2023, that first things first, Lord, that we be the quick ones, the first responders to repent and run to you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.